Hi, welcome to another edition of the PCRF podcast. My name is Dave Page. I'm a Board of Advisors member for the PCRF, and I'm here with
Dr. Aaron Burnett. I'm the Assistant Medical Director at Regents Hospital EMS.
Dr. Keith Wesley. I'm the Medical Director at Health East Medical Transportation in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And Marshall Washick, paramedic with Health East Medical Transportation in St. Paul, Minnesota.
And we are going to review a preliminary naturalistic study of low-dose ketamine for depression and suicide ideation in the emergency department. This came out in September 2011 in the International Journal of Neuropsychopharmacology. And the authors are Gregory Larkin and Annette Beautrais. I hope I'm pronouncing those fairly well. They're from the Yale University School of Medicine. I am going to take a lot of flack from my colleagues for bringing this forward, and I don't care. I think that we need to be talking about behavioral emergencies, and I think that it's important to look at research not just for cardiac arrest, endotracheal intubation, and any particular derivation of those things. We have a large patient population in the pre-hospital arena that requires our services, our psychiatric services. And I found this to be a very interesting, very small little trial that might hold some promise for suicidal patients in the field. So what they did was they gave a single dose of ketamine, 0.2 milligrams per kilogram, which is a fairly small dose compared to doses that are used for sedation or other procedural, I guess I'm thinking of the violent psychiatric patient who needs to be restrained chemically. And so they gave these patients this low dose, and they then watched what happened over the course of the ER visit, and then followed the patients 10 days after treatment in the emergency department. They used a validated scale, the Montgomery-Åsberg Depression Rating Scale, and the Kaplan-Meier Survival Analysis to analyze their results. Now, they had a very small patient population. It was a total of, I believe,
14 patients.
So it's a very small study. We can agree that is a very small amount. Nobody's going to go out and start doing this based on just this particular study. What they did find, however, was that onset was typically right around 20 minutes, and that, in fact, patients who received the ketamine it was very therapeutic. They were less depressed and had a much more positive visit through the emergency department, as well as a lasting effect that lasted 10 days, in which they were less suicidal. So, just bridging the gap, perhaps, for other medications to work. There are some limitations to the study, but I'm sure the physicians who are shaking their heads and about to tear me apart are going to bring up those limitations very quickly. So, why is it that you don't want to take care of suicidal people?
You just want to cut
people open and tube them, and what's the deal? You love ketamine. You told me you love ketamine in small doses even.
I agree. I think ketamine is a phenomenal drug for pain control, for induction of RSI, for control of an agitated psychiatric patient. But, I mean, let's face it. They took 14 people who were depressed, they got them high, and they felt a little bit better. I mean, Freud did the same thing with cocaine hundreds of years ago. You could probably give these people booze. There is no doubt that there is an association between getting depressed and using addictive substances.
It was 10 days. You can't get high for 10 days. Come on.
Oh, I don't know. This is such a short-acting drug, and to make the argument that it's doing any sort of long-term biochemical modulation of neurotransmitters in the brain just seems like a stretch to me. It's a low dose of an addictive substance. There were patients, two of whom they describe as having mild positive psychomimetic symptoms, i.e. they got high. And then there was two patients who had, quote, unpleasant dissociative symptoms.
Is there anything wrong with that?
I just don't think it's a good medical approach. We know that depressed patients have a higher rate of substance abuse. We know suicidal ideation, being intoxicated, is a risk factor for completed suicide. And so we're using a medication that's known to produce euphoria, that's known to be mind-altering, in an acute symptom, or excuse me, in the acute phase with suicidal patients. I can't believe that that's a positive thing.
Well, I'll give you that it was not a randomized controlled study. They did these were just 14 patients that basically walked in the ER. There's no description of any kind of attempt to randomize them. And I will also give you that there was not, and they describe this in their own results. They clearly explain that there were other interventions, and that each one of these 14 people got different types of medications, of, you know, in some cases, some got different types of counseling. So you can't really attribute all of this to the one dose of a short-acting drug.
And there's definitely some confounders. I mean, look at the attention these patients got. So not only were they given this drug, but they were given, you know, a survey at 40, 80, 120 minutes, 240 minutes, days 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean,
if somebody cared about you that much, you probably would feel better.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That, I personally just found this surprising that it even got published.
Oh, give me a break.
No, this just doesn't even rise to the level of science. I'm sorry.
Would you feel differently if this was cocaine? What if they gave him a line of cocaine and then did the same thing?
Give me a break.
Or a bottle of Jack Daniels.
This is an innovative approach to dealing with behavioral emergencies.
There is no data whatsoever of the pharmacological efficacy of the use of single-dose ketamine to changing one's depression, short-term or long-term. And to do this in this manner and make the gross assumption that there's a cause and effect isn't science. This is tabloid medicine at its worst. I'm willing to take all the heat from these two individuals. If anything, I would have said, okay, this show me that doing this didn't have had a very low risk factor. Though I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I was worried about some of the nightmares and the the sort of emergence.
Let's measure that.
They reported that.
Yeah, two got high, and two didn't feel good after it. So that was four out of 14. Is that an adverse effect?
No. But they didn't have an emergence phenomenon. They didn't have a negative effect from the drug. At least we know that that it's for 14 people who I agree could have had any number of other drugs and any number of other interventions. So it does not,
but
it,
just statistically, it, Dave, you know that you cannot make this
does not stand on its own. We agree that this will not change our practice.
Well, but I hope it doesn't change the practice of these two budding psychologists. Because
it makes us think.
No, it would make me think if they had a control arm that were giving an injection of saline and got the same number of
let's do that study. I agree, but
let's do it as medical directors.
I want to chime in here because I applaud Dave for bringing this to the table, and that mental illness is such a huge social stigma, and I agree that this study is probably not the best, but we should also look at it in the context of, you know, we have whatever these two people are, budding psychologists, psychiatrists, whatever. You know, they're trying something and they're looking at the feasibility.
Good
of,
job, Marshall. Way to speak up. Way to speak up.
They're looking at the feasibility of, does this have an effect? Okay. So
it's an idea.
It does. And if you look at
are you so allergic to new ideas you can't absorb a new idea? What's wrong with you?
Ketamine is making a renaissance in EMS. It's becoming such a profoundly important medication that for it to be tarnished with a study like this.
No. Oh man. No way. I disagree. And you know, if you look at figure one, you know, and if you look at the stem and leaf plot, there is huge variability at all the intervals throughout the day. And then when you get to day 4 through day 10, their MA matters score, whatever you want to call it, shrinks dramatically.
Yes.
And the variability shrinks dramatically. So why? That's my question. Is it the attention? I can't imagine that ketamine has an effect, you know, 10 days later after administration.
Exactly. And yes.
So
we agree.
But I want to see the same plot on those patients that were admitted to the inpatient psychiatric service that didn't get ketamine.
Let's do the study. Figure one implies
great variability in the MADRS score while they're in the ER, and they got tighter afterwards. Well, they got ketamine, and that was the cut. No, getting admitted to a psych unit actually makes you less suicidal.
I don't know about that. It might make you more suicidal.
No. Yeah, then why admit
them? Maybe going on certain medications or getting therapy gets you, but getting admitted, I'm sure the first thought when you get admitted is not great.
I agree with you that the topic, but again, it's how this message, you know, is attempting to be presented. There's no question we need to be doing more for our depressed, for our psychiatric illness patients and evaluating them.
Yes.
But this isn't it.
Well, and I think it's important though too, and you know, to talk about the limitations that the authors discuss in their paper, and they pretty much come out and say, yeah, we had 14 people that we used ketamine on. It's definitely not a double-blind randomized control trial. So they recognize that. So, but I don't know. I don't think that we need to trash it that much, but it's an interesting topic.
I bet they saw their waiting room population skyrocket after this came out.
Get away.
I'm feeling sad right now. No. How much is a plane flight to Connecticut?
I think that the approach to the patient who is not, you know, severely violent and agitated, that is the all-out fight, restrain, et cetera. The patient who is in true pain, psychological pain, which some people might debate is true or not. But let's just for the minute assume that they really are in extreme emotional pain.
Treating their emotional pain with medication may actually be okay.
Why not just use ECT, the shock work?
Oh, right. Whatever!
Or let's give them...
That is one of the most insensitive
things. Why don't we give them a shot of droperidol?
Great.
Something that's truly known to interact with the biochemical compounds associated with mental illness. Ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic. Why not just, there'd be no difference than let's let them huff nitrous for 30 minutes. There's no difference.
And maybe
from
that's
a pharmacological
okay
standpoint, there's no difference between a dissociative induction agent or a dissociative anesthetic like ketamine or nitrous or halothane.
I'm there. I wanted to bring this to the table to open our minds to perhaps that the thought that short-acting medications that simply help us get this patient in a better state of mind to deal with their problem might
be... Propofol.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a pharmacist, so I don't know all these pieces. But I would venture to guess that nobody really knows some of the pieces of how these drugs actually work. And that though we love some of these drugs for some of the things we use, then we find out, oh, by the way, they actually do other things and they're harmful because of other things, et cetera. So I'm not 100% sure we understand all of these as well as we should or could before we use them. Okay. I hope this was at least entertaining to listen to, and thanks for tuning in.